First, just over 100 years ago, American Indian leaders met at the UW-Madison to discuss issues of concern, things like Indian rights and conditions on reservations.
That historic meeting led the UW to extend the Wisconsin idea to tribal communities, a move that initiated projects like the agricultural collaboration, the archiving of Native language texts, and establishing the UW-American Indian Studies program.
Today, Native American leaders and UW researchers convene again at the UW Native Nations Summit on Environment and Health. With us now are two people involved in this summit. Janice Rice is Outreach Coordinator at the UW-Madison's College Library, past president of the American Indian Library Association. She's a key organizer of the summit. Janice, thanks for joining us in the studio. And also joining us is the main architect of the summit, Larry Nesper, a professor of anthropology and American Indian Studies at UW-Madison. Larry, welcome to you as well.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So let's start with you, Larry. You, I gather, had been incubating this idea for a bunch of years before this happened. Where did this idea first come to you?
I was walking up the hill, Bascom Hill, with Tina Danforth, who was chair of the Oneida Nation at the time, and she admired the beauty of that and said she had never been up there before. And it struck me that the chair of the Oneidas has never been to our campus in her official capacity. And I began to think at that point that we needed to have an event that would bring together the tribal leaders at this research institution for some kind of summit. That's where it began.
And Janice, you are involved in organizing this. You're a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation. What aspects of Ho-Chunk culture inform things like the environmental practices and stewardship that will be part of this conference?
Well, we'll have our tribal leaders here to talk about those topics throughout this evening and tomorrow. And one of the things that they will touch on is all the environmental issues that have been important in the state and the region. So I believe they'll be talking about the cultural practices and the environment and the way it impacts on the ceremonies that we have and all the natural resources that are valuable to us as American Indian people.
And Larry, we mentioned that there's a precedent for this just over 100 years ago in a similar gathering. It led to some initiatives, including from President Woodrow Wilson. So taking this conference today and tomorrow, what kind of outcomes do you hope to see as a result of this summit?
100 years ago, we were on this campus, these leaders were on this campus to talk about federal Indian policy. Mm-hmm. We don't really have that aspiration. What our aspiration for this event is for looking at opportunities and possibilities for collaborative research, issues that the tribes are concerned about within their communities, issues that we're both concerned about together, bringing the research capacity of the university together with the interest and the needs of the tribal nations. So we expect concrete proposals for research projects to come out of this in the area of environmental issues as well as health issues, perhaps others as well.
And Janice, do you see key environmental or health concerns that you're hoping to see progress on starting with this summit today and tomorrow?
Well, I guess that I would have to tell you a little bit about the health issues that I know of that are prevalent in American Indian country. Diabetes is very high, and most recently, heart disease and cancer the rates have risen in our American Indian communities. And so we know that the quality of the water and the environment is very important in our lives. And so I know they'll be touching on those issues as we go along during the summit.
Do you think we've seen enough, Janice, cooperation between the UW and Native communities around the state in recent years? Or is there a need for a lot more of it?
There's always a need for more. There's people that are beginning to do more research and contacts out there, and some of the original contacts that were made way back over 100 years ago have gotten strengthened just by some continued connections that happened way back then. But we still need to revive and renew some of those, and also new areas will develop, I'm sure, and there's connections that have been made along the way with research, also service learning, and all the different outreach activities that have been happening. So I am really grateful for the programs that have been going on, but we always know more can be done.
And Larry, I wonder, is this something, this kind of summit, something that's unique here in Wisconsin? Is there precedent elsewhere in the country that you know of?
I don't really know about other precedents, although I guess we just read about something going on at the University of Washington that may be something along this lines. I think that there's a lot of research relationships between universities and tribes. We've certainly had a number of them going back, you know, almost 100 years, actually 100 years now. We've never seen ourselves as a community of researchers. And I think that's one of the aspirations for this conference, is for all of those people who have been involved, who are involved with the tribes, to see each other as a community.
And the Wisconsin idea itself is in part extending the boundaries of the university to the boundaries of the state. And as I've read literature about the summit, that the intention here is to include tribal communities in that Wisconsin idea. Can you talk about the importance of that a little?
That's very important. This was one of the original motivations of this, is recognizing that the tribal families are as much a part of this state as any other families, and in the spirit of doing work that will be of benefit to citizens within the state, the tribal nations needed to be included within that.
And Janice, what do you think could be done to improve that communication, to build that partnership more strongly, when the summit is over?
Well, I think there's several different ways. When you think about the faculty that'll be involved in this conference, I'm sure that they will be able to take some of the things that are discussed at the conference and follow through on some of the suggestions that will be made. We also have staff that are looking at that already, and maybe connections are already being made and maybe strengthened. And then we have our students, our younger generation, that are just, some of them are involved in this in some small way, but here, their ears are listening, their eyes are watching what's going on, and there are future researchers and faculty in the state or the nation even, depending on where they would go from here. But I think there's lots of potential.
Now, I know there's a lot going on starting tonight and through the day tomorrow. I want to get kind of a preview, a taste of what's going to happen. And now you can decide which one wants to tackle this first. The keynote address, I think, is tonight. What's happening?
That's right. Jacqueline Pata, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing her name. I haven't heard her say this or someone say this yet, but she is the executive director of the National Congress of the American Indians, which, by the way, is an institution that goes back to the 40s and emerged some ways out of the Society of American Indians from 100 years ago. She is giving a talk tonight called Flipping the Script, Tribal Nations Driving Research, and is addressing herself to the very issue that we're working on with that. She, Lawrence Roberts, will also be here. I believe he's Deputy Secretary of the Department of the Interior for American Indian Affairs. National level, federal level official will be here as well and making some remarks and sort of setting the frame of this event. There will be, then we start tomorrow in the morning with an invocation given by a Ho-Chunk elder and drum, and some opening remarks by Paul Robbins from the Nelson Institute, myself, Patty Lowe, and then we proceed immediately to the chairs forum, where the tribal chairs and their representatives will be speaking about issues of concern within their communities. We then go on to 12, 13 faculty presentations, people who have recently done or are doing research with the tribes now, as a kind of showcasing the possibilities for relationships.
Now, as I understand it, going back 100 years again, the organization that participated in that event in 1914 was the first Native American advocacy organization made up entirely of Native Americans.
That's right.
So how important is it to have, I could see there have probably been efforts over the years from the outside saying, here's what you need, here's the help you need from us. How important is it to be hearing Native American voices driving that, Janice?
I think it's extremely important. When you look at the history of writings about American Indians, you'll see that not that many authors have been Native Americans themselves, if you look at the percentage. But with more researchers coming out and writers, authors, and faculty members, I think we'll start to see more publications coming out from American Indian people themselves. So the voice is very important, because we see that we are not as well represented in the academic circles as far as the voices go. So it would be good to have that continued voice, not be silenced, but hear more loudly.
If I could just add to that, the last phase of the summit is going to be 8 breakout sessions on topics that emerged from a joint planning conference between tribal representatives and university officials last year. So we will be talking about issues like mining and health and environment and education, agriculture, et cetera.
And you mentioned education. Is there an effort to try to create a positive pipeline, trying to get Native American students through the education system into UW and to become the researchers who are participating in events like these?
We hope there will be. We used to have more in terms of admissions, but it was more like just come to the campus and be a student here. We haven't really focused on be a researcher, come here, do all this. I mean, to a certain extent we might, but I don't think that's been as strong as it can be, and I think this will help define that a little bit better. So when someone does go out and recruit, it's a little more tailored to that kind of concern and the needs of that community. So I think this will be very helpful to all of us.
So, Larry, this summit is today and tomorrow. What's the next step when you've come out of these sessions? What happens next?
The last part of the summit will be to come up with concrete proposals for future dialogue and future exploration of the possibilities of research. We really hope to narrow things down to getting to the level of people talking about grant proposals that might be made and particular issues and groups of people identifying themselves and stepping forward and saying, we want to work on this project with you. It's really about developing relationships. This is really what this is about. Developing those relationships, taking recognition of those relationships, celebrating those relationships.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here.
And Janice, thanks to you as well.
Thank you very much.
That was Janice Rice, Outreach Coordinator at the UW-Madison's College Library, past president of the American Indian Library Association, and Larry Nesper, Professor of Anthropology and American Indian Studies at UW-Madison. They're both organizers of the UW Native Nations Summit on Environment and Health. It kicks off today on the UW-Madison campus.
Coming up, police rallied yesterday in support of Madison Police. After the news, we'll get police perspective on the reaction to the officer-involved shooting death of Tony Robinson. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.